Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 99, part 2, The Last Count. Today is Sunday, May 24th, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
And now let's turn to a more pleasing work, whose name will be found there. When we see that final census in who will be there? Now, I started to think about this. When we take a census in the world, we miss many, I'm sure. If you were out there with a tablet and you were taking a census, would you go under the bridges? They send you out. They give you a $3.35 an hour minimum wage. You're out there. It's all hot. Several dogs are barking at one window, and you can see foam all over the window. How many are in there? I'll put down 6. No, 8. Count them 2 dogs. How do I know? We don't count everybody when we take our census. We don't care. They go out there. They don't go under the bridges. No. They don't go in where people, and they knock at the door, and nobody's here. Looks like a 2-family dwelling. Say 6 people. 7 maybe. I'll put down 8. See, we really don't care when we take a census, do we? Any old number will do. It's an estimate. We'll start counting, but we'll just have an estimate. People at the highways and at the byways, address unknown, they don't get counted. People in the malls, they don't count them. We're afraid they might be a mugger. Bag people and mentally ill people and people living in bars and skid row and flop houses and whorehouses and ghettos. Places where the normal census taker doesn't visit. And you know why they take a census, by the way? For tax purposes. Not that we're interested in one another. We want to know how much money we can expect. Is that right? Then we spend it on an airplane toilet seat that's $600. Where's the love? Castaways. Oh, castaways. See, you really don't count if you have nothing to count. Here was a song years ago. It's, is it me or just my money? Oh, amore. Okay, it was before your time. But that's really where it's at. If you don't have nothing to count in this old world, you don't count. But God, it says, chooses the low, base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise. Glory to God. Every hobo, whore, every freak that receives Jesus as their personal savior will be saved. And every father and old best character will go to hell if they don't receive Jesus. Betty Crocker will go there with her gray hair and her little cooking spoon. Are you hearing it? All these types. But now then, who is to make out the census paper? The Bible says the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. But why should the Lord have to bother himself by making out the census? Well, the first reason is, who else should do it? Suppose your enemies were in charge. And you don't want to know something? You never know an enemy until they have to give you something. Then you find out who your enemies are. You've got a lot of them. When you're in need, you'll find out who your enemies are. Kind of quiet. You must have let somebody down this week. You on the radio, you aren't saying nothing. You even stopped drinking your Pepsi. Miracle. Oh Lord, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Breathe it out. Isn't that descriptive when someone breathes out, I haven't got it. Don't you understand? I'm broke. Would you want the world that every breath is cruelty to handle your fate? They would omit all the jewels, and who would they favor? Their own kind. Every slop bucket would be there. Or then you, the legalists. Could we trust you? Maybe the legalist is having an exceptionally bloodthirsty mood day. Maybe his self-righteousness is at a peak. Have you ever seen the legalist when his self-righteousness is at a peak? Oh, they are dangerous. Who then would measure up? You'd have to try and work something out and try to please this legalist by your works. But then you'd have to be careful that you didn't overdo it so that you showed him up. See, because he's God. That's the danger of listening to the legalist. You can never measure up. Well, how would you like to have the Pope? take the census. How would you like to have Rome? Great big tall hats, long gowns marching in, big canisters or whatever they are walking in. Do you think you'd make it? You wouldn't make it. You're not a member. Are you counting on that? How dangerous. I'm sure we would all be omitted. How about the bigot? I think Archie Bunkers wouldn't be so humorous then, would they? If they were writing up the list that were going to come in, the census, the ones that were going to count. It's kind of fun to laugh at Archie Bunkers, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of Archie Bunkers, and it's dangerous. Would you want them to take up the census? Maybe your mother-in-law. Maybe your boss. I wonder how many people would go out and commit suicide if a certain person says, so-and-so is taking up the census, the ones that are going to make it to heaven. Or maybe your wife. Maybe your husband. Oh, I trust them with my life. Oh, you do? Better pray they don't get mad at you that particular day. You'd be going down. How many hearing this? No, see, there's only one that can take the count. Jesus. There's only one, the great shepherd. There is only one that can make that count. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, how about these ministries that think that everyone is going to hell unless they belong to their particular type of teaching? We have all the truth here. Here we have this chart. And they get into the charts with the Old Testament and everything on there and types and all this. We have all the truth over here. We're into this type of thing, or we're into this type of thing. But where is the love? Where is Jesus? Where is the blood? Is it preached? Is the cross preached? Are souls saved? God alone is wise enough to make the count. He's the only one. Then I hear someone say, you know what? If I had my druthers, and I'll tell you who is a saint, my mother. Well, for sure, she would sign her wayward daughter in. And a reprobate son would make it in for sure. Are you hearing this? See, affection in this world is something that overmasters the understanding. I've been around and worked around people that say, well, I'm just the type of person, you know, that I can't say no to anyone. If I owned a large factory, and I've seen people do this, and I watch them, that's where I get messages. I watch people. Observing. You can learn a lot by observing, especially if you're observing yourself and you're honest. If I had a large factory, and the first thing I'd do when I talk to the people that I was hiring, I'd say, now, learn how to say no with my stuff. You know, you're working over here with all these nuts and bolts and screws and everything, and someone's going, hey, I'm building a boat. I need 1,000 hex head screws and the nuts to go with them and the washers and the flat washers, and I'm wondering what you can do with me. Oh, no problem. But it isn't yours to give. But see, that person is a person that can't say no. Every garbage can would be in heaven. The devil himself could smile and say, please, And in the name of being nice, they would say, sure, enter in. Let me tell you something, parents. Being nice guys is not always good. Such a nice person. Nice people, a lot of times, they're so dangerous. Because they're always nice, but that isn't always being good. Oh, I never spanked my child. I don't know. What, she was up there in a 10-story room. What do you say when I get a hold of that kid? I'm going to beat his rear off. Why? Because you love him so much. But then the nice person says, Danny, it's Mommy. Now, according to the law of physics, darling dear, if you fall from that 10th floor, your body will become unglued. It will just... And they try to explain to them, you know what I mean? They're trying to be nice. Instead of saying, get back in there now! I mean now! That kid will understand. Oh, yeah, sometimes these nice people are so sickening. Because what they're doing is not good. Ooh. We all must have the Spirit of Christ or our mom's spirit. That can't get you into heaven. Like I said, that Betty Crocker's mom with the gray hair that's combed back and it's a little bun here, you know. She's got sort of the corny little black shoes on with the little heels in the back there, you know, and she's stirring away. Little rosy cheeks and little granny glasses like I got on here, you know. I was so surprised years ago, I had a friend. And he said, do you know who Betty Crocker is? I said, no. He says, my brother. It just blew the image, because I used to I'd look on the back of this box and I'd see this picture of this woman. I thought, Betty Crocker, she must really be great. Boy, she looks so mommily, you know? Don't go by sight. Oh, but if entering heaven were left to the wrong people, all their favorite movie stars would be there and every soap person would be there. Sometimes people know more about the soap characters than they know about their own people. They can name everyone off. This is like people who get into baseball. I'm not against baseball, but they know their batting average. They know how fast they can run from home plate to first and how they can make... He can run the 100-yard dash in so many seconds. And they know all the statistics, and they don't know one single thing about their kid. And the first thing they do, they run into the coffee shop. You can see them. They're so nervous, you know. And they get over there, and you're in there early, and they're dancing around. Say, what is it? Do you want the, sports page. Sports page. You done with it? I says, I never read it. Take it. And they'll go over there, and just they consume it with their eyeballs. They eat it up. They just get into it. And you could walk up and talk to them and say, good morning. They wouldn't even hear you. Yeah. But then you mention some player's name. Well, how did the Celtics do last night? Hey! And they go into a whole... They talk all day about the Lakers or the Celtics or the Vikings or whatever. And they don't know one thing about their family. They know everything about sports and nothing about Jesus. Isn't that kind of strange? Well, what's your kid's middle name? I don't know if he's even got one. Which one are you talking about? It's really the truth. Does your kid have blue eyes or brown eyes? You know what? I never really did look to find out. Now, I know there's a lot of parents in here right now thinking, you listening on the radio, I got to look at my kid's eyes, make sure what color they are. Is that right? Where is the love? Where is the love? Right? It's the Father's knows best kind. No one but the Lord knows all of the sheep that are going to come in. No one but the Lord. But next, why will the census be taken at all? Why take a census? Why should God write up the people? Well, number one, it's not that he needs fresh information, for the Bible says he knoweth all things. Not that there is any fear of God's purpose number being incomplete. Not that he needs to double check to see if someone isn't in there. Says the Lord knoweth them that are his, and this is the one of the stones on which the church is built. Well, why then, you say? To show his value of them. Do you remember this passage? They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. Each jewel shall have a place according to plan. Now, this morning, again, the Lord showed me just a clear picture. You know what was there? There was a picture of a crown there, and had all the jewels in it already. Crown was already there. All the jewels were already in it. And he just loved to walk up, and he'd walk up, and he'd count them. For personal satisfaction. People would have these doll collections. They line them all up. They have this doll and that doll. And what do they call them? The porcelain dolls or something like that? Is it what it is? Porcelain little dolls. And they have every one there is, and they line them up. Oh, and this one, and they tell a story about them. And this one was sent to me from Japan. A lady made this. Yes, it was in the early 1900s. And notice the dress and the material and the little shoes. And that's little Kathy. And then this one over here and this little Jeannie over here. Oh, there's quite a story concerning her. She came in from over there, and oh, she went through a lot of trials. She was stuck down inside of an old suitcase and thrown in a locker for years and years and years, and then they finally opened it up, and there she went, "Hi, little one." And then they go on and on and on with all these little dolls and everything, right? Why did they do that? Because they just love them all. That's all. They count them over and over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What? Because they're important to them. People do that with salt and pepper shakers, don't they? They do it with all kinds of things. Each jewel shall have its place according to his plan. Doesn't that encourage us? Doesn't it? Doesn't it encourage you that God loves you so much that he already sees you in the crown? Here's the plan. Who's this and who's this? And well, who knows? Don't worry. And get this, to show to Satan his entire defeat. Here's Satan just working himself to death, roving back and forth and to and fro, back and forth and to and... By the way, I got to tell you something. He is a toothless lion. The only thing he can do is gum you. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he's wearing himself out. God already has a picture. Oh, there they are, fiend of hell. There they all are, all of them. There is not one lacking. Those drunks and those druggers, you fooled for a time. But they all the time, they were all mine. And they came when I called. And by the way, those that I call, I also justify, so don't accuse any of them. They have come. The Davids and the Samsons and the Peters and the demon-possessed and the base and the whore and the murderers, all of them I chose before the foundation of the world. I justified, and I shall glorify them just as I planned. Look over there at Job. You tried to do a number on him, didn't you? And look over there at Paul, and look over there at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and all of the martyrs that were burned at the stake. You lost! They're all in the crowd. I see it. Now, Satan, what will you say when they're standing all here in their glorified bodies? Woo! How puny Satan will look when we're standing in our glorified bodies, shining like Christ. Woo! But another reason is this: to let men see that the great riddle which has distracted human intellect was really no riddle at all, but a fact. And facts, by the way, are not riddles. What is the great mystery? It is that God decrees and that man acts, and yet God's decrees and man's acts will actually and factually totally tally with one another. The books, the account will balance. Here's your sins. Here's the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's when you came in. Up here is what God has already foreseen, foreknew, predestinated. Knew you before the foundation of the world was even found. It's all over here on the records. And over here are all the other things, and they'll all add up, every act. And they know what's going to make the common denominator? Jesus. When the books add up, they're going to balance, and their account is going to be closed. From old, I'm saying, before the world was, before its creation, let's say sleeping in the womb of divine thought, as yet unborn, when the sun and the stars and this universe itself had not begun yet to even blink or yawn. Then in his book, his chosen were all written. Read it. And the members of Christ fixed and ordained. That book at that time was closed and sealed and has not been opened. But the mystery to us is how that all this comes true. Now you say, what effect can a book sealed have upon the deeds of men? None, you say. None, I say. See, the decree of God as such hath no effect on any man. There it is. It has such an effect. There it is, and there it stands. But see, there the world right now is in confusion. Never has it been so perverted. Never has it been so rebellious, but still God brings them in. At the hobo bus, at different places, on the street. Where there's confusion all over, God is still bringing them in. They're flowing in the gates right now. According to the divine plan of God, according to the predestination, according to the foreknowledge of God, they're still streaming in. You want the people you thought never would get saved are walking in the pearly gates right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? According to what God had foreknown, they're starting to walk in right now. According to his plan, according to the crown, they're checking in right now. Yes, according to my plan, you were in here all the time. Woo! Now that's too good for people to believe, but the Bible points it out. That if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Bible says, for the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word that we preach, it's already been there for all these eons of time. Say it. And through grace, millions are streaming in through the golden gates. And finally, we hear that. Do you ever hear a door close and you know it locked? I heard that gate close and I knew that it was locked when I was getting ready for this message. And I looked over, and the book was open. You know what was found in there? It was found that all who were written there have come. They all came. Is it okay if God moves in faith? Oh, claim it like it already is. But when it comes to predestination and God doing that, well, no, the author of faith. The author, and he's not the author of confusion. And so we see here today then that free agency didn't defeat predestination. And man's will did not stop the eternal will of God. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done"? And so you see, God is glorified and man is free. Man has obeyed as truly as though he knew what was in the book. Do you ever wonder why you've done such things? Do you ever wonder why you were at certain places at certain times? Do you ever wonder that? Did you? Did you? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Do you ever look back on your life and say, well, that situation brought me into this situation, and this situation brought me into this situation, and so on and so on and so on, and all the pieces fit together? Don't you get guidance from your earthly father? Doesn't he have a sort of a plan, a little puny maybe, but doesn't he have a plan for you? Don't you think that your heavenly father then, that you were born again and that he foreknew and he predestinated and he called, and those that he called he also justified, and those that he justified he also glorified? And neither height nor depth or principality, powers, things present, things to come, no created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Nothing, 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 even yourself. God won't do it. He isn't a liar. You hearing it? Praise the Lord. It'll all come together. And in that day when you see Jesus, you'll know all things because you'll be made like him. Yeah, there is a plan, and it's the most beautiful plan that ever was. Amen, somebody. So beautiful and so glorious and so eternal. And there's people out there right now that need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And you ever wonder why they just automatically just come pray right now? Bang. Because the word is near them in their mouth and in their heart, the word we preach. That if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. You're hearing this on the radio. My God, it is such a beautiful God we serve. Ooh, sure, there's a battle between the old Adam and the new life in you. There's a battle go on to the day you die. There will be sin in your members until the day that you leave here. Yes, there will. But there will be another part over there, that spiritual part in there, the incorruptible seed that cannot sin, will not sin. And you can't make it any better. You can't train the spirit up to be better. You can't school it to be better. It is the incorruptible seed. And when this old body drops off and this old body drops away, and that seed then, that incorruptible seed is taken. Don't you see what I'm saying here today? It's a plan. It's the greatest, most beautiful, wonderful plan. And it says in the Bible that you will be with God forever and forever and forever. See, how can you totally believe such a thing? I said, because it's down inside my heart. I've seen too many things with God right now. And you know why you'll see things with God through a little bit of suffering? I've seen too many things with the Lord right now. Many beautiful things with Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, some of the things I don't even share because people aren't even ready for it. No way I'm not ready to share them because I don't want to be totally thought as nuts. Halfway, three quarters, but not all the way. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for people to totally just say, you turned me off. Because sometimes when you're talking about spiritual things, you just naturally turn people off. And some of the spiritual things are so practical that it doesn't even sound like it's from God. That's the truth about it. And what we think is spiritual things is no spirituality in it whatsoever. None. And what we take for granted in just everyday things, there's a great plan of God in it. There really is. Maybe your smile, or maybe your forgiveness to someone, or maybe you're totally turning around, or maybe you're doing something that is a total, you know, when it lines up with that, and you get that witness in your spirit, you know it's of God, and you fit into the eternal plan of God. Always be waiting for God to use you. Always, 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 and don't run away from duty. Don't run away from giving your life as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Don't run away from that, because you know what? You're just running away from life. You're running away from a blessing. I was so glad the other day I was talking to some brothers from Germany, and they were talking along, they were talking about the blessings of God, and none of them contained $1 million or the prosperity teachings that we hear. It was the filling of the spirit of joy and faith being built up and doing and meeting the needs of others. That's what it was all about, being blessed in prayer, blessed in sacrificing part of yourself. Blessed in giving. You want to be blessed? Start to give. Give, it says, and it shall be given unto you, pushed down, packed together, and running over. Man asked me down at the rundown there the other day. He says, you know what? If you would run for governor, he says, I would vote for you. I said, sir, if the whole world would be mine this very day, and I had to give up the will of God by leaving 1000 Oliver Avenue and coming up here and giving bread and groceries out to the poor, I'd be the poorest person in the whole world to give that up. I would really be poor. If my place were to be in prison and it be the will of God, to give that all up for my own flesh purposes and for to go out there and be magnified and even be the king and the head of all the jails in all the world and be the king of all the earth, for me to give up that jail cell and the perfect will of God would bring me nothing but poverty. I'd be the poorest man in all the world to get outside of the will of God. I mean positively poor. Matter how many riches that I store up, I'd be positively poor if I didn't fit into the plan and purpose and the will of God. That's why I want to every day pray, God, help me in my own puny way to walk in what you have me to walk in. I'll tell you something else. Right now we're in the throes of coming into something and doubling down here as far as in food ministry and meeting the needs of the poor. You need to pray about that tomorrow morning. In fact, I'm going over and look at 10,000 square feet of warehouse space with coolers and freezers and everything in it. You just pray that God would bless us and give us that to meet the needs of the poor down here. I'm believing for it. I'm believing for other people. You know what? God is going to meet that need. I've already seen it, and I've already felt it, and I already know it's ours right now in Jesus' name, whatever the place is going to be. But I know it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by me getting up and just running around the building and laying my hands on it and doing all them kind of things. It's just saying, God, if it be your will, open it up. If not, close every door there is. Lord, we just thank you for this audience here today. We thank you for the many souls right now. And we pray, Lord, that you have touched them and given them a revelation on the great love of God, how that jewels have already been fitted in according to the mind of Christ. That right now that we're hidden in Christ and God, that Lord God, that you are, just open up right now, Lord, and allow the people to see and have the vision of the great plan of salvation, so rich and so full and so free, simply for the asking. God, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, run into every hypocritical church. We pray that the Holy Spirit would indwell each one and send in members, Lord, to teach the people and to bring the people in through seeing Jesus and seeing Jesus only right now, and every preacher right now that's not preaching gospel, Lord. Touch them right now. Lord, touch me and anoint me with a greater message on the salvation message, Lord God, that I may bring forth fruit unto thee, Lord, and that you may say in that final hour, good and well done, faithful servant. Thank you, Lord, right now for this day. And Lord, we just pray if there be someone in here today that isn't saved, that you would touch the heart, that they would put their hands up at this very, very midnight hour and say, I don't know Jesus yet, but I feel that pulling and that tugging in my heart, and I know that God has been after me for some time. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You know, maybe you just don't know for sure. Maybe you're a person that doesn't know for sure. But are you born again, honey? Okay. Anyone in here that doesn't know? Anybody? Are you born again, everybody in this line here? Okay. Okay. Everybody over here? Sir, are you born again? Have I ever prayed with you? Have I prayed with you yet? No. Let's pray with you, okay? Just pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart
and save me.
And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me in God's Holy Spirit. And with a new heavenly language, I will praise your holy name. Amen. Amen. Anyone else in here? Oh, and I'll tell you something else. You've got to know how precious one soul is. That's why we don't count. We don't make the census, and your mom don't make the census. And, you know, no one can make that census but the Lord. You know what? Because he knows the value of a soul. You are valuable. And just keep telling yourself that. That I'm saved, saved, saved. Right in the middle of your, you know, when your conscience is bothering you and all that, you just start singing out, but I'm saved, saved, saved. Saved, 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 saved. Forever and forever and forever. You just keep on like
that. So with your utility.